Grace and peace are yours. They are the gifts of God, who is our Father, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen. Whenever you throw a party, don't invite your friends. Has anyone here ever had a party and not invited their friends? I just want to see who you are. Like, raise your hand so I can see you. I don't do that. When I have a party, I invite my friends. And then I kind of hope that my friends will bring somebody who's poor or blind or crippled or lame so that I can occur like a really good hostess. Yeah, I think, you know, here in the story when Jesus says, when you have a banquet, don't invite your friends, don't invite your relatives, don't invite your rich neighbors, don't invite your brothers, don't invite the people who can repay you. He's really giving us insight into the kingdom of God. He's giving us insight into our worship, actually. Because for how many of you, or how many of us, we think that when we come to church, we're here to worship God. We just want to turn my heart toward God and worship God, and that's it. So if you're in that category of people, you can just shake or raise your hand. But like, that's what I think. Like, we're here to worship God. But actually, I think what's going on in this passage is Jesus is teaching us that worship of God is more than that. It's more than coming and turning our hearts toward the God who's blessing us. It's coming and turning our hearts towards the God who wants to bless the whole world. So we would behoove ourselves to look around the sanctuary and notice how many empty seats there are. Really do that. Like, look around. We are not only missing this morning people who normally worship here, but we are always, always, always missing people from the community who don't worship at all. Not only just not here, but not next door, not at all. In fact, for me, I have spent the last month or so traveling. I've made 3 trips to the States, to California and Washington in the last 5 or 6 weeks. I'm totally exhausted, so if I'm kind of off my game, you can give me some grace for that. But I've been traveling to the States because people in our family and in our life are having celebrations, and they're kind of odd celebrations. So, at least by my reckoning and understanding. So one of them was called a love fest. That really threw my mother for a loop. It threw me for a loop, too, because I didn't realize that my invitation was a summons to a wedding, because Love Fest isn't a wedding, but that's kind of how that played out, sort of. So someone in my family was having a party of commitment with their partner, but those two people have been so hurt by both the church and the government that they don't need a pastor to marry them, and they don't need a marriage license by the state to legitimize their relationship. So there's no government document, and there's no officiant. And it wasn't until I was sitting there listening to their stories that I realized how extensive the hurt is. Denial of health services. One of them had a prescription by a surgeon that the pharmacy wouldn't fill. They wanted a note from the surgeon, to which I said, what is a prescription if it's not a note from the surgeon? Right? That there are people in our world that are suffering in ways that we cannot imagine because we're not walking in their shoes. So I'm thinking, well, I need to host a party, and I actually just need to go to somebody else's party and offer to pay for it while I sit and listen to their stories about how difficult life is. And then for us, you know, we have our very sad rainbow canopy out there. It was meant to be up for about a month, and it's been up for nearly 2 years now, so sagging and falling. And people have been saying to me, when are we going to take that down? When are we going to move on from this theme? And these last 6 weeks or so, I became very clear about the answer to that question. And the answer is, when the violence stops. When the violence stops. When I'm holding a banquet and I look up and I don't know anyone in the room, they're not my friends. but they're people for whom I'm called to give away my power and my time and my resources. And so when we come to church, I think Jesus is saying, it's not only about worshiping God, but it's about getting ourselves in line with the work that God's up to in our world. Most of the people who come and sit in the pews at the church are people who have in some way already experienced God's grace and mercy and rescue. So now I really mean it because it's not TV. If you're somebody who's experienced God's grace and mercy and rescue at some time in your life, would you raise your hand? Let's see, right? So you know, we come to church because we're clear there's a God who rescues. You know, for us, it's not just a wish or a hope or a fantasy. It's not faith in some unseen God we're expressing, but it's actually celebration. Amen? Like, yeah, we come to church because we know for certain that God loves us. Amen? And we also know that God loves all the people that are not in the pew. Amen? But here's the problem. They don't know it. They don't know it. Jesus enters the home of the Pharisees. These are the law keepers, the worshipers in his time. He enters their home and he says, don't take the place of honor. Because, I'll say it like this. Maybe your host has invited somebody who's gay. Maybe your host has invited an indigenous elder. Maybe your host has invited somebody who's homeless or poor. Maybe your host has invited someone who does not know that God is for them. And maybe your host has the intention of seating that person right at their right hand, and they can't do it because you jumped into that spot. That's your best friend, after all. No, when you come to your friend's party, why don't you hang back, see who comes through the door first? Why don't you see what your host has planned? And then when you throw parties yourself, why don't you do that? What does it mean to worship this God who rescues us, who has and continues to rescue us? If not to ask this God, get us on board with your plan. Because I'm telling you right now, if my friends Chris and Cindy hadn't been on board with that plan, God wouldn't have had a lifeline to give me. It was only because there were people who were worshiping God, loving God, celebrating God, that I had any access at all. And I grew up in the church. Sometimes when we come to worship, we have to tell the truth, particularly about what's going on in our world. You can imagine I was really nervous about today, right? Like, it's Pride Week. I kind of know how hard the work is. I've kind of been through the time I've been through. I'm totally exhausted. I don't know what to say. So I got on the internet. That's what every good pastor does. What have other preachers said? Nothing I wanted to use, by the way. But in that research, I found this. 66 countries in the world today are jailing and killing people for their gender identity. 66 countries out of 190, and you know what? It's one-third of the countries in the world. 33% of the countries in the world are jailing and killing people for their gender identity. For us, it kind of seems like it's a done deal. We can put a rainbow up in our sanctuary and it's all good. We can have a pride parade, it's all good. We can march and speak and talk and it's all good. Except, by the way, it's not all good, not even here. Have you been paying attention to the news? Pride sidewalk vandalized, I think twice, then I was gone. I don't know if it was more than that. Like, the thing goes up, spray painted immediately. We set up a peace pole, Pride weekend, the weekend we set that up, it's defaced. Right? Our work isn't done until everyone's in the room. Our work isn't done until these pews are filled. Not just with people who look like me or you. Our work isn't done until the pews are filled with people who look like Emma and Victoria. Our work isn't done until the body of God complete, the body of Christ complete, comes to praise God. And then in our praise we say, "We love you, thanks for rescuing us. By the way, what's next? What's next?" I've been preaching this morning about what's next for me. It might not be what's next for you, by the way. But there is a what's next for you. There's a place at your table for someone who needs God's rescue. There's a place in your home and your heart for someone who's hurting. And they don't know how to find God or even that God exists. I'm very, very fond of saying, "There's nothing special about me. I'm just a thirsty woman who happens to know where the well is." And there are thirsty people in your life that don't know. I pray God calls you to a banquet if you're the one who's thirsty and hurting. But if you're feeling rescued, I pray God give you strength to look for somebody thirsty and tell them where to find the water.